Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى ومن يعصهما فإنه قد غوى وإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا إن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن خير الأمور عوازمها وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في كتابه المجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله تعالى في مكان ثاني يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'd like to begin today by placing you in a scenario. And that scenario is the situation of the Arabs in the 7th century at the beginning of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want you to imagine that you're part of a people that's surrounded by not one, but both of the major superpowers of the time. You're surrounded by the Romans and the Persians. Two empires that have been around for centuries now, spanning from modern-day Spain to modern-day China. But I want you to focus on the Arabs. The Arabs who lived in the desert. The Arabs who lived in small populations as Bedouins, as nomads. To any outsider, if they looked at this region during this time, this Hijaz region, would anybody ever think that there was a possibility that these Arabs would become a superpower over both of these empires? Now I want to take a closer look at the situation within the Arabs. In Mecca, we see that the Muslims were being tortured. They were being ridiculed. They were being threatened, they were being harassed, they were having false accusations made against them. And during this time, one of the Quraysh, his name was Nadir bin al-Harith. He would go out, he would learn many stories from the Persians, and he would bring these stories back, and he would try to challenge the stories mentioned in the Quran with these stories. Him, along with Uqba bin Mu'ayt, these two, they went to Medina, from Mecca. They went to Medina to ask the Yahud for help, because they knew that the rabbis of the Yahud had knowledge of the previous prophets, and they went to ask how they should deal with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rabbis told them to ask him three questions, and if he can't answer these three questions, then he's a liar, and they can do whatever they want with him. But the rabbi said, if he can answer these three questions, he's a true messenger of Allah. These three questions were, ask him about the amazing story of the youth, and what happened to them in ancient times. Ask him about the one who was given power from east to west, and ask him about the nature of the ruh, the nature of the soul. And the responses of these questions were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Kahf and Surah Al-Isra. The question that we're going to focus on today is the question of the one who was given power from east to west. In response to this question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the story of Al-Qurnayn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقُرْنَيْنِ قُلْ سَأَلْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. And they ask you about Dhul-Qurnayn. Say, I shall recite to you something of his story. Inna makkanna lahu fil ardi wa ataynahu min kulli shay'in sababa. Verily, we established him in the earth and we gave him the means of everything. And the ayat that follow these continue to describe Dhul-Qurnayn's story. First, he traveled to the west. And he found a group of people who because of his authority, he had the choice. He could have punished them or he could have treated them softly. The choice he made was to treat them justly. He punished those who went against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he treated the righteous with ease. And after this, he traveled to the east. And he found another group of people and he did the same thing with them. He implemented justice over them with his authority. And after that, he traveled in a third direction. And he found a group of people who lived between two mountains. And when he reached them, they saw his power and his authority and they asked him for help. They offered him money for him to build a wall for them so that they could block off their oppressors, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Dhulqarnain responded to this offer and said, قَالَ مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ فَأَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. He said, that wealth, authority, and power in which my Lord has established me is better than your tribute. So help me with strength, I will erect between you and them a barrier. So he rejected their money, but he saw that they were being treated unjustly, and he knew that he had to implement justice over them. And so he helped them, and he built this barrier to protect them from their oppressors. What did he do after this? قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّا وَكَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي حَقَّا. Dhulqarnain said, this is a mercy from my Lord. But when the promise of my Lord comes, he shall level it down to the ground. And the promise of my Lord is ever true. وَكَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي حَقَّا. SubhanAllah, think back to the context that these ayat were revealed and that we were looking at. At a time when the Muslims were being persecuted and harassed and tortured in Mecca, it seemed as though their situation would never change. In this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the story of a righteous king who he gave everything to. He gave him authority from east to west. But everywhere he went from east to west, he only implemented justice and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only this, but at a time when it was easy for anyone in Mecca to lose hope, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes that a king who had authority everywhere he went understood, وَكَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي حَقَّا. The promise of my Lord is ever true. At a time when the Muslims were suffering but knew that they were promised, right, they were promised Jannah for their righteousness. At a time when Ala Yasir was being tortured and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, صَبْرٌ Ala Yasir فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدُكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Have patience, O family of Yasir, for verily your abode is paradise. And Sumayya radiallahu anha became the first martyr. There's no precedent to becoming the first martyr. There's nobody before who you're looking at, who you know who's done this before. There's conviction and conviction alone in the promise of Allah, in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that drives a person to sacrifice their own life for the sake of Allah. I want to fast forward a few years now, same region. By this time, the condition of the Muslims had worsened. By this time, the circumstances were so bad that a group of Sahaba were given permission to migrate to Habasha, seeking refuge. By this time, the Muslims had been boycotted and ostracized in Mecca for 3 years. By this time, Aam al-Huzn had already occurred, the year of grief, when Khadija radiallahu anha and Abu Talib had both passed away, two of the biggest supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca. And just 2 years after the success of being granted the Nusra, being granted support from the Ansar and migrating to Medina, during the first Ramadan when the Muslims were commanded to fast, where did they find themselves? They found themselves preparing for the Battle of Badr. The Muslims found themselves an army of 313 facing an army of 1,000. From a worldly perspective, all the odds were stacked against them, in terms of wealth, in terms of number, in terms of apparent military abilities. The Muslims found themselves in a position that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described when he said, O Allah, should this group of Muslims be defeated today, you will no longer be worshipped. The narration says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in addition to preparing the army for battle as best he could, the night before the battle, he raised his hand in dua for the entire night, to the point that his cloak fell off of his shoulders. And in response, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. Remember when you sought help of your Lord, and he answered you saying, I will help you with 1,000 of the angels, each behind the other, following one another in succession. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرًا وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah made it only as glad tidings, and that your hearts be at rest therewith. And there is no victory except from Allah. Verily Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. When all the odds were seemingly against the Muslims, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to put forth his full effort in preparing his army and placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew the same thing that Dhulqarnain knew. وَكَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي حَقَّا. Verily the promise of my Lord is ever true. And just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised, the Muslims emerged victorious on the day of Badr. This is why the day of Badr is known as Yawm al-Furqan, the day that differentiated the right from the wrong. It's the day when, despite all odds, by putting their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following His commands, the Muslims emerge victorious. And this can be seen in many instances throughout the seerah. The Battle of the Trench, the Muslims were outnumbered 10,000 to 3,000. Allah mentioned about the Sahaba at this time, إِذْ جَاءُوكُم مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. When they came upon you from above you and from below you, and when the eyes grew wild and the hearts reached out to the throats, and the hearts reached to the throats, and you were harboring doubts about Allah. The Sahaba, the best of generations, they were this concerned at the Battle of the Trench because of the imminent threat in front of them. But during the preparation for the Battle of the Trench, when they were digging the trench itself, they reached a rock that they couldn't break. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck this rock 3 times. The first time he struck it, he said, "The keys of Asham are mine." The second time he struck it, he said, "Persia is mine." And the third time he struck it, he said, "I've been given the keys of Yemen." After this, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And when the believers saw Al-Ahzab, the confederates, they said, "This is what Allah and His Messenger had promised us, and Allah and His Messenger had spoken the truth." And it only added to their faith and to their submissiveness to Allah. The Sahaba were reminded in this time of the promises of Allah. And once they were reminded of this, it said, the ayah says, their hearts were in their throats, they were so concerned, this concern went away. It didn't matter to them anymore if it seemed impossible for them to win this battle, or it seemed impossible for them to open Sham, or Persia, or Yemen. What mattered was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised it for them, and if they followed His commands, then no matter what, they could achieve it. They understood, وَكَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي حَقَّ. The promise of my Lord is ever true. Now I want you to think back to our original example and take a step back again. We're looking at the Muslims in the Hijaz area surrounded by superpowers. To any outsider, like we said, it would never seem like they would themselves become a superpower. But now I want you to fast forward in time, 1400 years. Look at this same region today. What do you see? You see Muslims surrounded by superpowers. Muslims seemingly unable to change their situation. Our brothers and sisters in Gaza being massacred on a daily basis. And again, to any outsider, it would seem like this situation can't change. But that view is only held by the outsiders. The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows, وَكَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي حَقَّ. And the promise of my Lord is ever true. But what are these promises? We're not getting wahi right now. What are the promises that have been made to us today in this situation? For the people of Gaza, they've been promised Jannah for their martyrs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Think not of those killed in the way of Allah as dead, nay, they are alive with their Lord and they have provision. And the people of Gaza, they know this is true. The people of Gaza have been promised a great reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When He says, أَلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقُوا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Those who answered the call of Allah and the Messenger after being wounded, for those of whom who did good deeds and feared Allah, there is great reward. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Those unto whom the people said, "Verily the people have gathered against you, therefore fear them." But it only increased them in faith. And they said, حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. They said, "Allah alone is sufficient for us, and He is the best disposer of our affairs." So then what are the promises made for us? These promises are for the people who are being oppressed, the people who are being killed. What promises has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah As-Saff, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. O you who believe, shall I guide you to a trade that will save you from a painful torment? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. That you believe in Allah and His Messenger, and that you strive hard and fight in the cause of Allah with your wealth and your lives. That will be better for you if you but know. يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ومساكن طيبة في جنات عدن ذلك الفوز العظيم. If you do so, he will forgive your sins and admit you into gardens under which rivers flow, and pleasant dwellings in Aden, paradise. That is indeed the great success.
وأخرى تحبونها نصر من الله وفتح قريب وبشر المؤمنين.
And also he will give you another blessing which you love, help from Allah against your enemies and a near victory. To the believers, and glad tidings to the believers. This is our responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Gaza and all over the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly here what the conditions are for Him providing the Muslims with victory. And it's very simple. We must turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that we do. And when we say in everything that we do, this includes the course of action that we take to save our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Our course of action should not come from whatever we can think of that we think might be optimal. Our course of action must come from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us. And the only way to understand what's been commanded to us and how to implement it is for us to turn to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see his example, what he did in these situations. We should never have this attitude that there's nothing we can do. Because despite the seemingly unbeatable odds stacked up against him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best example for us, he never had that attitude. So, but how did his attitude translate into his actions? When the Muslims were being persecuted in Mecca, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only make dua. His dua and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were coupled with building up the sahaba around him and immense preparation for the hijrah and seeking support for the Muslims. Similarly, before the Battle of Badr and the Battle of the Trench, he did not only make dua. He coupled his dua and trust in Allah with immense preparation because that was the action commanded to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we see our brothers and sisters suffering in Gaza, in Sudan, in Kashmir, in East Turkestan, in Syria, in Yemen, here in America, all over the world, we must do as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Yes, we must absolutely place our trust in Allah and make dua to Him, and we will never be successful if we don't do that. We must also take action in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this matter just as we do for every aspect of our lives. So long as we follow in these footsteps and have absolute conviction in this, in the promise of Allah for our success and our victory, we shouldn't ever need to worry about the practicality of our success or the possibility of our success. We shouldn't ever need to think that opposing forces are so powerful that there's nothing we can do. So never waver in the face of unbeatable odds. Never waver in the face of oppression. Never waver even in the face of death. As long as we stay true to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all we need to remember is وَكَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي حَقَّ. The promise of my Lord is ever true. استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. On the discussion of promises of Allah, there is one promise that we must mention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran 3 times, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. And in one of these instances, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلِ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Every soul shall taste death, and only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your wages in full. And whoever is removed away from the fire and admitted to paradise, he indeed is successful. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. I bring up this topic of death in light of recent events. As many of us know, a brother of ours who was a student at UIC passed away this week. Allah yarhamhu. It's an important reminder for us that death is not just for the old, and death is not just for the sick. And we're being constantly reminded of this every day for the past 6 months as we've seen the death tolls coming out of Gaza across all ages. We must always keep our own deaths not in the back of our mind. We need to keep it in the forefront of our mind. We need to remember at all times that we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that when we do, we'll only have our deeds to show for our life, and that we'll be accountable for every single action that we take. And that those who live their lives to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be of the successful, and those who don't will be of the losers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower our brother who passed away with his mercy, and we ask him to elevate him to the highest levels of Jannah and to grant patience and ease to his family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those who to make us of those who live this life in a way that pleases him, so that when we die we are of the successful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the condition of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, and we ask him to grant them victory and to make us of those who will bring change for his sake. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the shuhada of Gaza, of Sudan, of East Turkestan, of Kashmir, and all over the world, and elevate them to Jannat al-Firdaus with the Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin. اللهم أيد المسلمين في غزة اللهم أيد إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي السودان وفي الصين وفي سوريا وفي اليمن وفي كشمير وفي كل مكان آمين يا رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد بعدد من صلى وصام اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد بعدد من قعد وقام اللهم صل على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى سائر الصحابة والتابعين وعلى عبادك الصالحين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا منهم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ثبتنا على الإسلام اللهم نور قلوبنا بنور الإيمان اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأهم وأكبر وأقيموا الصلاة.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.